Guarded Shadows. Chapter 1. A Broken Warrior. The heavy hum of the aircraft engine drowned out the chaotic sounds of Rio de Janeiro below. Ethan Kane gazed out the small airplane window, his tired blue eyes scanning the sprawl of the vibrant city. It was a kaleidoscope of beauty and danger, gleaming skyscrapers mingling with tightly packed favelas cascading down hillsides. The sight should have inspired awe, but for Ethan, it was just another stop on his way to nowhere. The past had weighed him down for years, a relentless chain he couldn't break. Once a Navy SEAL and later an operative for a clandestine U.S. agency, Ethan had been a man of purpose. Now, he was a man adrift. His missions had left scars that ran deeper than the ones on his skin. Friends lost, innocence harmed, and decisions he could never undo haunted his every waking moment. Alcohol became his refuge, his companion on sleepless nights. The plane touched down with a jolt. Ethan closed his eyes, steadying himself against the rising swell of regret in his chest. Why had he agreed to come? Why had Lucas, of all people, reached out after so many years? But he knew the answer. Lucas Mendez was the only friend who hadn't given up on him. Lucas was waiting at the terminal, his lean frame unmistakable even among the crowd of bustling travelers. His face broke into a grin as he spotted Ethan. "Kane," Lucas called out, his Brazilian accent still thick despite years in international intelligence. "You look like hell." Ethan smirked, the closest he'd come to a laugh in months. "Good to see you too, Mendez." They embraced briefly, a bond forged in the fire of countless operations overseas. Lucas led Ethan to his car, a modest sedan, and they set off into the city. The streets were alive with the chaotic rhythm of Rio. Vendors shouting, music blaring, motorcycles weaving recklessly between cars. "You'll love it here," Lucas said, glancing over at Ethan. "Fresh start, new people. It's exactly what you need." Ethan raised an eyebrow, his skepticism evident. "You really think a change of scenery will fix what's broken, Lucas?" Lucas didn't answer right away. Instead, he navigated the winding streets with practiced ease. Finally, he said, "No, I don't. But I think having a purpose might help. And I've got one for you." The Silva estate was perched on a hill overlooking the bay. It was the kind of place that screamed wealth. Tall iron gates, meticulously trimmed hedges, and a sprawling mansion with gleaming white walls. Ethan stepped out of the car, his duffel bag slung over his shoulder, and took it all in. Diego Silva greeted them at the door. He was a tall, imposing man in his 40s, his tailored suit and commanding presence, making it clear he was used to being in charge. His handshake was firm but brief. "Lucas speaks highly of you," Diego said, his dark eyes scrutinizing Ethan. "He says you're the best." "Not anymore," Ethan replied bluntly. The alcohol on his breath was faint but noticeable. Diego's expression tightened, but Lucas stepped in. "He's the right man for the job, Diego. Trust me." Reluctantly, Diego nodded. "Come in. Let me introduce you to my family." Sofia Silva was not what Ethan expected. At 10 years old, she was a bundle of energy and curiosity, with wide brown eyes and a constant stream of questions. She bounded into the room, clutching a sketchpad covered in colorful doodles. "You're the bodyguard?" she asked, looking Ethan up and down. "You don't look like one." "You look sad." Lucas stifled a laugh, but Diego frowned. "Sophie, that's enough." "It's okay," Ethan said, kneeling to her level. "You're right. I am sad. But I'm also very good at keeping people safe." Sophia studied him for a moment, then smiled. "Okay. I like you." Ethan wasn't sure what to say to that. It had been a long time since anyone liked him, let alone trusted him. Over the next few days, Ethan settled into his new role. He accompanied Sophia to her art classes, monitored the perimeter of the estate, and kept an eye out for anything unusual. At first, his interactions with her were distant and professional. But Sophia had a way of breaking through his defenses. She was curious about his life, asking endless questions about his time in the military and his travels. He found himself answering more than he intended, her innocence chipping away at his guarded exterior. One afternoon, Sophia dragged Ethan to the estate's pool. "Teach me to swim," she demanded, tossing him a pair of goggles. Ethan hesitated. "Shouldn't you have an instructor for that?" "I want you to teach me," she insisted. Reluctantly, he agreed. As he guided her through the basics, he found himself smiling for the first time in months. Her laughter was infectious, her determination inspiring. For a few brief moments, he forgot about his demons. But the shadows of Rio were never far away. Ethan noticed a black sedan parked near the estate for hours one day, its windows tinted too dark to see inside. Another time, he spotted a man lingering near Sophia's school. He reported these incidents to Lucas, who assured him they were being monitored. "They're testing us," Ethan said, his instincts sharp despite his self-doubt. "Whoever they are, they're planning something." Lucas frowned. Diego's business dealings aren't as clean as he'd like people to believe. "He's made enemies." "Then they'll come for her," Ethan said grimly. "And I'll be ready." That night, Ethan sat in his room, a bottle of whiskey on the table in front of him. His hand hovered over the cap, the temptation overwhelming. He wanted to drown the memories, the guilt, the fear of failing again. But then he thought of Sophia's smile, her trust in him. With a deep breath, he pushed the bottle away. Instead, he opened the small Bible Lucas had left for him. It was worn, the pages dog-eared and marked. Ethan wasn't a religious man, but the words brought a strange kind of solace. He read until his eyes grew heavy, the bottle untouched. For the first time in years, Ethan Kane felt a glimmer of hope. Chapter 2: The Bond. The Silver Estate came alive in the morning with the hum of activity. Maids attending to their chores, gardeners trimming the expansive lawns, and the aroma of fresh bread wafting from the kitchen. But none of that registered for Ethan Kane. His focus was singular. Sophia Silva. Standing by the front gates, he watched as her school bus rolled down the winding driveway, the bright yellow vehicle a stark contrast to the dense greenery surrounding the estate. It was the first time he had let her out of his sight since taking the job. Even with his carefully chosen security measures, Ethan's chest tightened as the bus disappeared down the road. "Relax," Lucas said from behind him. "She's safe. You've done everything possible." "Everything possible isn't always enough," Ethan replied, scanning the area one last time before turning to face his friend. Lucas gave him a knowing look but chose not to press further. Instead, he handed Ethan a coffee mug. "You're getting too attached." Ethan sipped the bitter liquid and didn't respond. Was he getting attached? Sophia's laughter, her curiosity. It was a stark contrast to the world Ethan had known for most of his life. And for the first time in years, someone had looked at him not with fear or judgment, but with trust. When Sophia returned that afternoon, she bounded into the estate like a whirlwind, her sketchpad tucked under one arm and a wide grin on her face. "Ethan, look what I made." She thrust the sketchpad at him, revealing a colorful drawing of the two of them standing by the pool. She had drawn him with exaggerated muscles and a comically large frown, while she was all smiles. "That's you," she said proudly, pointing at his figure. "You're always serious." Ethan chuckled despite himself. "I have to be serious. It's my job." "But you can smile sometimes," she argued. "Smiling is important." Ethan shook his head, but her words lingered. Smiling wasn't something he thought much about these days. It felt foreign. Yet here was this child, insisting he find joy in the smallest things. Over the following weeks, their bond deepened. Sophia insisted on including Ethan in her routines, from practicing piano to painting by the pool. She even started calling him her guardian angel, a title that made him uncomfortable but strangely proud. Ethan found himself going above and beyond his duties, teaching her self-defense techniques disguised as games, and showing her how to identify potential threats without alarming her. One day, Sophia asked, Why do you protect people? Ethan hesitated. The question cut deeper than he expected. Because sometimes, the world can be dangerous, he said finally. And people need someone to keep them safe. Sophia considered this for a moment. Were you always a bodyguard? No, Ethan replied. I used to be a soldier. Did you like it? Ethan stared into the distance, memories flashing in his mind. Missions gone wrong, lives lost, the sound of gunfire ringing in his ears. Not always, he admitted. Sophia frowned. Then why did you do it? Because I thought I was making a difference, Ethan said. But sometimes, even the best intentions can go wrong. Sophia nodded solemnly, as if she understood more than she let on. Well, I'm glad you're my bodyguard. Her words hit him harder than he expected. For so long, he had felt like a man without purpose, drifting through life. But here in this moment, he felt needed. As the days passed, Ethan's vigilance never wavered. He noticed the black sedan again, parked at a different location, but always within sight of Sophia's school or the estate. He made a mental note to discuss it with Lucas and Diego, though he suspected the latter wouldn't take it seriously. Diego Silva, despite his wealth and influence, seemed unnervingly detached from the gravity of the situation. During one of their rare conversations, Diego had dismissed Ethan's concerns about Sophia's safety. We've dealt with threats before, he had said. It's just business. Nothing will happen to Sophia. Ethan didn't share Diego's confidence. He knew better than anyone how quickly a situation could spiral out of control. His time in the field had taught him that overconfidence was often the precursor to disaster. One evening, after a long day, Sophia pulled Ethan toward the pool again. Come on, Ethan, she said, dragging him by the arm. You promised you'd race me? Ethan sighed but followed her. The pool was illuminated by soft, glowing lights, the water reflecting the stars above. Sophia dove in gracefully, her small frame cutting through the water with surprising speed. Ethan sat on the edge, watching her swim laps. She was a natural, her movements fluid and precise. But more than her skill, it was her joy that struck him. She seemed so free, so untouched by the darkness that surrounded her world. Why don't you swim? Sophia asked, surfacing near him. Because I'd lose, Ethan said with a rare smile. Sophia giggled. You're scared I'll beat you. Maybe, he admitted. But someone has to keep an eye out for trouble. Her expression turned serious. Do you think there's trouble, Ethan? Ethan hesitated. He didn't want to scare her, but he also didn't believe in lying. It's my job to be ready for anything. That's all you need to worry about. She nodded, seemingly satisfied with his answer. Okay. But if you're watching, you have to cheer for me. Ethan chuckled. Deal? Later that night, as Sophia slept soundly in her room, Ethan sat by the window, his pistol within arm's reach. The estate was quiet, the distant sounds of the city muted by the thick walls and expansive grounds. But Ethan's mind was anything but still. He replayed every interaction, every glance, every word spoken by those around him. Something didn't sit right. The black sedan, the lingering man at the school, Diego's dismissiveness. It all pointed to a storm brewing on the horizon. As he stared out into the darkness, Ethan made a silent promise. No matter what came, no matter who tried to harm Sophia, he would protect her. She had become more than just a responsibility. She was his second chance, a chance to do something right in a life filled with wrongs. And he would not fail her. Chapter 3. Shadows Lurking. The sharp crack of breaking glass jolted Ethan Kane awake. He was out of bed and armed in seconds, his pistol steady in his hand as he scanned the dark room. His military instincts kicked in, heart rate calm, breathing steady, every nerve attuned to his surroundings. The sound hadn't come from inside his quarters. He crept to the window and peered outside, scanning the estate grounds bathed in faint moonlight. All seemed quiet. Too quiet. He holstered his pistol, but didn't let his guard down as he slipped on his boots and grabbed his tactical flashlight. Ethan moved swiftly but silently through the sprawling mansion, his footsteps muffled on the polished marble floors. He reached the source of the noise, a shattered glass pane in the kitchen door. A brick lay on the floor amidst the shards, a crude and menacing message scrawled across it in Portuguese. "This is your warning." By morning, the estate was abuzz with activity. Diego Silva stood by the broken window, fuming as workers replaced the glass. His wife, Gabriela, hovered nearby, her face pale with worry. Sofia was upstairs, oblivious to the commotion. "This isn't just a prank," Ethan said, holding the brick with gloved hands. "This is a message." Diego waved him off dismissively. "It's nothing. Some jealous competitor, maybe. These things happen in business." Ethan frowned. "You don't send a warning like this over a business deal. This is personal." Lucas, standing nearby, chimed in. "Ethan's right. Whoever did this isn't bluffing. You need to take this seriously." Diego sighed, running a hand through his neatly styled hair. "What do you suggest? More guards? Higher fences? I already pay a fortune for security." "Your security isn't the issue," Ethan said. "Your priorities are. You need to tell me everything, every deal, every threat, every grudge. If we don't know who we're dealing with, I can't protect Sofia." Diego hesitated, his jaw tightening. Finally, he muttered, "We'll talk later." Then, without another word, he walked away. Later that evening, Ethan met with Lucas in the estate's library. The room was lined with shelves of leather-bound books, their spines gleaming in the dim light of a single desk lamp. Lucas poured two glasses of whiskey, but Ethan shook his head, opting instead for water. "I don't trust him," Ethan said, his voice low. "Diego?" Lucas asked. Ethan nodded. "He's hiding something. Whatever's going on, it's bigger than he's letting on." Lucas leaned back in his chair, swirling the whiskey in his glass. "Diego's always been a risk-taker. He built his empire by making deals no one else would touch. But he's not stupid. If he's keeping something from you, he has his reasons." "None of which help me keep Sofia safe," Ethan said grimly. "If he doesn't open up soon, we'll be fighting this blind." Lucas regarded him thoughtfully. "You've changed, you know. The Ethan I knew would have walked away by now." Ethan took a sip of water, his gaze fixed on the desk. "Maybe I should have. But Sofia," he trailed off, struggling to put his feelings into words. "She deserves better than to pay for her father's mistakes." Lucas smiled faintly. "You're a good man, Ethan. You just forgot for a while." The next few days passed without incident, but Ethan's instincts told him it was the calm before the storm. He doubled down on security, ensuring every guard was vetted and every surveillance camera was operational. He also began teaching Sofia subtle ways to protect herself, how to stay alert, how to identify exits, and how to use her small size to her advantage. "Why do I need to know this?" she asked one afternoon as they practiced in the garden. "Because the world isn't always safe," Ethan said carefully. "And you're smart enough to handle yourself if you need to." Sofia nodded, her brow furrowed in concentration. "Okay, but you'll always be there, right?" Ethan hesitated, then said, "As long as I can be." One evening, as Ethan drove Sofia home from her piano lesson, he noticed a black SUV trailing them. It wasn't the first time he'd seen the vehicle. Over the past week, it had appeared near the estate and even outside Sofia's school. Now it was following them too closely for comfort. Ethan's grip on the steering wheel tightened. He glanced at Sofia in the rearview mirror. She was busy sketching in her notebook, oblivious to the potential danger. "Hang on, Sophie," he said, his voice calm but firm. "What's wrong?" she asked, looking up. "Nothing. Just a little detour." Ethan made a sudden turn down a side street, the SUV following suit. He accelerated, weaving through traffic with precision honed by years of high-speed pursuits. The SUV kept pace, its dark windows preventing him from seeing who was inside. Ethan's pulse quickened, but his focus remained razor-sharp. He had one priority: keep Sofia safe. Spotting an upcoming alley, He took a sharp right, cutting through a narrow passage that the larger SUV couldn't follow. Moments later, they emerged onto a quieter street. Ethan parked in front of a small cafe, his eyes scanning the area for any signs of the SUV. It was gone. "Are we okay?" Sophia asked, her voice small. Ethan turned to face her, forcing a reassuring smile. "We're fine. Just had to lose someone who didn't know how to drive properly." Sophia giggled, though her eyes were filled with curiosity. "You're like a superhero, Ethan." Ethan's smile faded as he looked back at the road. A superhero wouldn't have let things get this far. Whoever was targeting the Silva family wasn't playing games, and Ethan knew they'd be back. That night, Ethan sat alone in his room, the weight of the day pressing down on him. He opened the Bible Lucas had given him, flipping through its pages until he found a passage that caught his eye. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The words resonated with him, a reminder that even in the darkest times there was hope. He closed the Bible and leaned back in his chair, his mind racing. The shadows were closing in, and Ethan Kane knew one thing for certain. He would need every ounce of his strength and skill to face what lay ahead. Chapter 4. A Day of Tragedy. The morning started like any other. Sophia sat at the kitchen table, munching on toast while scribbling in her sketchpad. Ethan leaned against the counter, sipping his coffee as he kept an eye on the estate's monitors. The rhythmic buzz of the security feeds provided a false sense of calm. It was the kind of morning that lulled even the most vigilant into a dangerous complacency. "Are you ready for your panel lesson?" Ethan asked as he glanced at the time. Sophia nodded, stuffing her sketchpad into her bag. "Can we stop for ice cream after?" "Please." Ethan smirked. "Only if you impress your teacher today." Sophia grinned, running out the door with Ethan close behind. As they climbed into the armored SUV, he couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. It was a subtle unease, like the faint scent of smoke before a fire. Lucas had once told him that his instincts were his greatest weapon. Over the years, those instincts had saved Ethan more times than he could count. Today, they screamed at him to be on high alert. The drive to the piano studio was uneventful. Ethan scanned every vehicle and pedestrian they passed, his eyes constantly moving. The black SUV that had trailed them earlier in the week was nowhere to be seen, but that didn't ease his tension. When they arrived, Ethan walked Sophia inside, greeting the instructor briefly before taking his usual position by the front entrance. The studio was small, with large windows that offered a clear view of the street. Ethan positioned himself where he could see both Sophia and the surrounding area. The first sign of trouble came 10 minutes into the lesson. A silver sedan pulled up across the street, its engine idling. Ethan's gaze locked onto it immediately. The windows were tinted, making it impossible to see who was inside. Then, two motorcycles appeared, weaving through traffic and parking near the sedan. The riders wore helmets with mirrored visors, obscuring their faces. Ethan's pulse quickened. This wasn't random. He reached for his earpiece, connecting to the estate security team. "We've got a situation," he said tersely. "Get eyes on the street outside Sophia's piano studio. Silver sedan, two motorcycles. Possible hostile intent." Before he could get a response, the motorcycles roared to life. The riders dismounted, pulling weapons from their jackets. Ethan moved instantly, bursting into the studio. "Sophia, we're leaving. Now." The instructor looked up in confusion. "What's going on?" "Stay inside and lock the doors," Ethan barked, grabbing Sophia's hand and pulling her toward the back exit. "But my lesson," Sophia began, but Ethan silenced her with a glance. "Not now, Sophie," he said, his voice calm but firm. They made it to the alley behind the studio just as the gunman entered through the front. Ethan pushed Sophia behind a stack of crates, drawing his pistol. The alley offered limited cover, but it was better than being trapped inside. "Stay here," he whispered to Sophia. "No matter what happens, don't move until I come back for you." Her wide, Terrified eyes met his. "Ethan, you'll be okay," he said, his tone softening. "I promise." The first gunman stepped into the alley, his weapon raised. Ethan fired before the man could react, a single shot dropping him instantly. The sound echoed off the walls, drawing the attention of the second gunman, who opened fire wildly. Ethan ducked behind the crates, returning fire with precision. The second gunman fell, but the noise had drawn reinforcements. The sedan screeched into the alley, its doors flying open as more attackers poured out. Ethan's heart pounded as he assessed the situation. He was outnumbered and outgunned, but he had no choice. He had to hold them off long enough for Sophia to stay hidden. He moved with the practiced efficiency of a man who had spent his life in combat. Each shot was deliberate, each movement calculated. But even the best-trained soldier couldn't hold off an ambush forever. A bullet tore through Ethan's side, the searing pain nearly dropping him. He gritted his teeth, forcing himself to stay upright. He couldn't afford to go down. Not yet. Through the chaos, he saw one of the attackers heading towards Sophia's hiding spot. Panic surged through him as he pushed past the pain, firing a shot that took the man down just inches from the crates. But it was too late. Another attacker had reached Sophia, grabbing her and dragging her toward the sedan. "Sophia!" Ethan roared, his voice filled with desperation. She screamed, her voice piercing the air like a dagger. Ethan surged forward, ignoring the pain in his side. He fired at the remaining attackers, dropping two more before a rifle, but caught him across the back of the head. He hit the ground hard, his vision swimming. He struggled to get up, but his body refused to cooperate. The last thing he saw was Sophia being shoved into the sedan, her tear-streaked face disappearing as the car sped away. When Ethan regained consciousness, he was lying on a makeshift cot in a dimly lit room. His head throbbed, and his side burned where the bullet had grazed him. He tried to sit up, but a hand on his shoulder pushed him back down. "Stay still," a calm voice said. Ethan turned his head to see Rafael Almeida. A federal agent Lucas had introduced him to weeks ago. Rafael was a wiry man with sharp eyes that missed nothing. "You're lucky to be alive," Rafael said. "Lucas sent me to extract you after we lost contact." "Sophia," Ethan's voice was hoarse, his throat dry. "She's gone," Rafael said grimly. "The kidnappers took her." Ethan closed his eyes, the weight of failure crashing down on him. He had one job, protect Sophia, and he had failed. "Do we know who they are?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Rafael nodded. "We're working on it. But this isn't just a simple ransom job. These people are organized. Dangerous." Ethan clenched his fists, his resolve hardening. "I don't care how dangerous they are. I'm going to find her. And I'm going to make them pay." Rafael studied him for a moment, then nodded. "Good. Because we're going to need all the help we can get." Chapter 4. A Day of Tragedy. The morning started like any other. Sophia sat at the kitchen table, munching on toast while scribbling in her sketchpad. Ethan leaned against the counter, sipping his coffee as he kept an eye on the estate's monitors. The rhythmic buzz of the security feeds provided a false sense of calm. It was the kind of morning that lulled even the most vigilant into a dangerous complacency. "Are you ready for your piano lesson?" Ethan asked as he glanced at the time. Sophia nodded, stuffing her sketchpad into her bag. "Can we stop for ice cream after?" "Please." Ethan smirked. "Only if you impress your teacher today." Sophia grinned, running out the door with Ethan close behind. As they climbed into the armored SUV, he couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. It was a subtle unease, like the faint scent of smoke before a fire. Lucas had once told him that his instincts were his greatest weapon. Over the years, those instincts had saved Ethan more times than he could count. Today, they screamed at him to be on high alert. The drive to the piano studio was uneventful. Ethan scanned every vehicle and pedestrian they passed, his eyes constantly moving. The black SUV that had trailed them earlier in the week was nowhere to be seen, but that didn't ease his tension. When they arrived, Ethan walked Sophia inside, greeting the instructor briefly before taking his usual position by the front entrance. The studio was small, with large windows that offered a clear view of the street. Ethan positioned himself where he could see both Sophia and the surrounding area. The first sign of trouble came 10 minutes into the lesson. A silver sedan pulled up across the street, its engine idling. Ethan's gaze locked onto it immediately. The windows were tinted, making it impossible to see who was inside. Then, two motorcycles appeared, weaving through traffic and parking near the sedan. The riders wore helmets with mirrored visors, obscuring their faces. Ethan's pulse quickened. This wasn't random. He reached for his earpiece, connecting to the estate's security team. "We've got a situation," he said tersely. "Get eyes on the street outside Sophia's piano studio. Silver sedan, two motorcycles. Possible hostile intent." Before he could get a response, the motorcycles roared to life. The riders dismounted, pulling weapons from their jackets. Ethan moved instantly, bursting into the studio. "Sophia, we're leaving. Now." The instructor looked up in confusion. "What's going on?" "Stay inside and lock the doors," Ethan barked, grabbing Sophia's hand and pulling her toward the back exit. "But my lesson," Sophia began, but Ethan silenced her with a glance. "Not now, Sophie," he said, his voice calm but firm. They made it to the alley behind the studio just as the gunman entered through the front. Ethan pushed Sophia behind a stack of crates, drawing his pistol. The alley offered limited cover, but it was better than being trapped inside. "Stay here," he whispered to Sophia. "No matter what happens, don't move until I come back for you." Her wide, terrified eyes met his. "Ethan, you'll be okay," he said, his tone softening. "I promise." The first gunman stepped into the alley, his weapon raised. Ethan fired before the man could react, a single shot dropping him instantly. The sound echoed off the walls, drawing the attention of the second gunman, who opened fire wildly. Ethan ducked behind the crates, returning fire with precision. The second gunman fell, but the noise had drawn reinforcements. The sedan screeched into the alley, its doors flying open as more attackers poured out. Ethan's heart pounded as he assessed the situation. He was outnumbered and outgunned, but he had no choice. He had to hold them off long enough for Sophia to stay hidden. He moved with the practiced efficiency of a man who had spent his life in combat. Each shot was deliberate, each movement calculated. But even the best-trained soldier couldn't hold off an ambush forever. A bullet tore through Ethan's side, the searing pain nearly dropping him. He gritted his teeth, forcing himself to stay upright. He couldn't afford to go down. Not yet. Through the chaos, he saw one of the attackers heading towards Sophia's hiding spot. Panic surged through him as he pushed past the pain, firing a shot that took the man down just inches from the crates. But it was too late. Another attacker had reached Sophia, grabbing her and dragging her toward the sedan. "Sophia!" Ethan roared, his voice filled with desperation. She screamed, her voice piercing the air like a dagger. Ethan surged forward, ignoring the pain in his side. He fired at the remaining attackers, dropping two more before a rifle, but caught him across the back of the head. He hit the ground hard, his vision swimming. He struggled to get up, but his body refused to cooperate. The last thing he saw was Sophia being shoved into the sedan, her tear-streaked face disappearing as the car sped away. When Ethan regained consciousness, he was lying on a makeshift cot in a dimly lit room. His head throbbed, and his side burned where the bullet had grazed him. He tried to sit up, but a hand on his shoulder pushed him back down. "Stay still," a calm voice said. Ethan turned his head to see Rafael Almeida. A federal agent Lucas had introduced him 2 weeks ago. Rafael was a wiry man with sharp eyes that missed nothing. "You're lucky to be alive," Rafael said. "Lucas sent me to extract you after we lost contact." "Sophia," Ethan's voice was hoarse, his throat dry. "She's gone," Raphael said grimly. "The kidnappers took her." Ethan closed his eyes, the weight of failure crashing down on him. He had one job, protect Sophia, and he had failed. "Do we know who they are?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Raphael nodded. "We're working on it. But this isn't just a simple ransom job. These people are organized. Dangerous." Ethan clenched his fists, his resolve hardening. "I don't care how dangerous they are. I'm going to find her. And I'm going to make them pay." Raphael studied him for a moment, then nodded. "Good. Because we're going to need all the help we can get." Chapter 5. Into the Abyss. Ethan Kane sat on the edge of the cot, his mind racing as Raphael Almeida briefed him on the situation. The room was dimly lit, tucked away in the back of a veterinary clinic, an unusual but effective safe house. Raphael's voice was steady, though the grimness of his words weighed heavy in the air. "We've identified the group," Raphael said, spreading a series of photos and documents on a metal table. "They're connected to a criminal syndicate led by Carlos Ortega, also known as El Lobo. He runs a network that specializes in high-value kidnappings." Ethan's eyes scanned the grainy surveillance photos of Ortega, a man with a sharp jawline and cold, calculating eyes. "And Sophia?" Ethan asked, his voice low but laced with barely contained fury. "She's alive," Raphael said. "At least, she was as of 6 hours ago. We intercepted communication between Ortega's men. They're demanding a ransom, $10 million. Ethan exhaled, relief tempered by frustration. "Diego has the money. Why haven't they made the drop?" Raphael hesitated. "Because the money isn't just money. It's leverage. Ortega isn't just after a payout. He's making a statement. And there's more." Raphael slid a photo across the table. It showed a man Ethan didn't recognize, a portly figure in a sharp suit, his face frozen in a smug grin. "Victor Montero," Raphael explained. "He's a high-ranking officer in the local police. Officially, he's clean. Unofficially, he's Ortega's inside man. If Montero's involved, this isn't just a kidnapping, it's a power play." Ethan clenched his fists. "I don't care about power plays. I care about Sophia. And we'll get her back," Raphael assured him. "But you need to understand what you're up against. Ortega's network isn't just criminals, it's politicians, law enforcement businessmen. If you go after him, you're taking on the entire system." Ethan stood, ignoring the ache in his side where the bullet had grazed him. "Good. Then they'll know what it's like to have someone hunt them." Diego Silva arrived at the clinic hours later, his usually composed demeanor unraveling. His tie was loose, his hair disheveled, and his eyes bloodshot from lack of sleep. He barely acknowledged Raphael before turning to Ethan. "They want $10 million, Diego said, his voice trembling. "I've already started liquidating assets. It'll take time to pull everything together." Ethan stepped forward, his presence overwhelming Diego's frazzled state. "You don't have time. They'll take the money, and they'll kill her anyway." Diego's face crumpled. "Then what do we do? Tell me what to do." Ethan's tone was cold, sharp. "You need to stop pretending this is just about money. What aren't you telling me, Diego?" Diego looked away, his silence damning. Ethan grabbed him by the collar, forcing him to meet his gaze. "If there's something you're hiding, it's going to get Sophia killed." Raphael stepped between them, his voice firm. "Enough. We don't have time for this." Ethan released Diego, his eyes burning with frustration. "Then let me do what I do best. You keep stalling Ortega with promises of the ransom." Diego nodded reluctantly. "And what will you do?" Ethan's reply was chilling in its simplicity. "I'll find them, and I'll make them talk." With Raphael's help, Ethan began piecing together a plan. They focused on Ortega's men, starting with the ones who had been at the piano studio. One of the attackers, identified as Eduardo L. Rada Morales, had a reputation for loose lips and a tendency to frequent a particular bar in the city's underbelly. Ethan prepared himself with quiet efficiency, checking his weapons, and securing a map of the area. Raphael handed him a burner phone. "Call me if things get out of hand." "They always get out of hand," Ethan said, tucking the phone into his pocket. Raphael smirked. "Then call me when it does." The bar was a dingy, dimly lit dive tucked away in a forgotten corner of the city. The smell of stale beer and cigarette smoke clung to the air, and the patrons, mostly rough-looking men with hardened faces, barely glanced at Ethan as he entered. It didn't take long to spot Eduardo Morales. He sat at a corner table, laughing too loudly and slamming back tequila shots, with a woman on each arm. Ethan's gaze hardened as he approached. "Eduardo Morales," Ethan said, his voice cutting through the noise. Morales looked up, his smile faltering. "Who's asking?" Ethan didn't answer. He grabbed Morales by the collar and slammed him against the wall, scattering chairs and drawing startled looks from the other patrons. "Hey man, take it easy," Morales sputtered. "I don't know you." "You know me now," Ethan growled, pressing his forearm against Morales's throat. "And you're going to tell me everything you know about Sofia Silva?" Morales's eyes widened in panic. "I don't know what you're talking about." Ethan tightened his grip, his voice icy. "Wrong answer." The interrogation was brutal, efficient, and effective. Within minutes, Morales was spilling information. Ortega's men were holding Sofia in a warehouse near the docks, heavily guarded and rigged with surveillance. Morales didn't know much else, but it was enough to give Ethan a starting point. "You're making a mistake," Morales said as Ethan released him. "Ortega will kill you." Ethan's gaze was like steel. "Not if I kill him first." Back at the clinic, Ethan and Raphael studied the layout of the warehouse, planning their next move. "You'll need backup," Raphael said. "I can't authorize an official raid, but I have a few trusted men who can help." Ethan shook his head. "Too many people, and it'll tip them off." "I'll go in alone." "That's suicide," Raphael said. "Maybe," Ethan replied. "But it's the only way." Raphael didn't argue further. Instead, he handed Ethan a satchel containing weapons, a radio, and a first aid kit. "If you're going to do this, do it right." Ethan nodded. "I always do." As Ethan prepared to leave, Diego approached him, his expression a mix of desperation and guilt. "Bring her back," Diego said. "Whatever it takes." Ethan stared at him for a long moment. "I will. But when this is over, you're going to tell me everything. No more lies." Diego swallowed hard but nodded. Ethan turned and walked out into the night, his silhouette disappearing into the shadows. He was heading straight into the abyss, but he didn't care. For Sofia, he would go to hell and back. And he would make her captors regret ever crossing his path. Chapter 6. The Ransom That Never Was. The night was heavy with tension as Ethan Kane crouched in the shadows outside the dockside warehouse. The distant crash of waves against the pier mixed with the murmur of voices from inside. Through a pair of night vision binoculars, Ethan studied the building's perimeter, noting the guards stationed at key points and the dim glow of surveillance cameras perched on the roof. He had been in worse situations, but the stakes had never been higher. Sofia's life depended on his ability to outthink and outmaneuver a group of men who had planned this down to the last detail. Ethan's mind raced with calculations, scenarios, and contingencies. He knew one thing for certain. This wasn't going to be clean. Raphael's voice crackled in Ethan's earpiece. "We've got eyes on a money drop. Diego's sending a decoy team with a briefcase. Ortega's men won't take it lightly." "Good," Ethan whispered. "Keep them distracted. I'll handle the rest." "Be careful," Raphael replied. "They're expecting us to play by the rules. You breaking in could complicate things." Ethan smirked, slipping the binoculars into his pack. "I'm counting on it." The warehouse was a fortress. Guards with automatic rifles patrolled the exterior, their routes overlapping in an intricate web of protection. Inside, Ethan knew there would be more, men armed and ready to kill at a moment's notice. But Ethan wasn't planning to give them that chance. Moving with the practiced silence of a predator, Ethan scaled the side of the building, his gloved hands finding purchase on the rusted metal framework. He paused briefly at a second-story window, pulling a small tool from his belt to disable the alarm before sliding it open. Inside, the air was damp and smelled of oil and seawater. The faint hum of machinery echoed through the space, masking the sound of his movements. Ethan's eyes adjusted quickly to the dim light as he slipped into the shadows. Downstairs, the guards were restless. Ethan crouched on a metal catwalk, observing their movements. There were six men in the main area, clustered around a table piled with weapons. Another two stood near the large cargo door, their attention fixed on a set of security monitors. Ethan's gaze shifted to a smaller room at the back of the warehouse. The door was locked, but a faint glow seeped through the cracks, and he could hear muffled voices. Sophia was in there, he was certain of it. Ethan worked methodically. Using a silence pistol, he eliminated the guards one by one, each takedown precise and efficient. The first guard never saw him coming, a single shot dropping him silently. The second and third followed in quick succession, their bodies dragged into the shadows before anyone noticed they were gone. When only two guards remained, Ethan used a flashbang grenade to disorient them. As the blinding light and deafening sound filled the warehouse, he moved swiftly, neutralizing the stunned men before they could recover. The locked door was reinforced steel, but Ethan had come prepared. From his pack, he pulled a small shaped charge, carefully placing it along the door's hinges. He stepped back, shielding his ears as the explosion rocked the room, sending the door crashing inward. Inside, Sophia sat tied to a chair, her face streaked with tears. Two men flanked her, their weapons drawn. Ethan didn't hesitate. His first shot took one of them in the chest, the second in the head. The remaining guard grabbed Sophia, using her as a shield. "Stay back, or I'll kill her," he shouted, his voice trembling. Ethan's eyes locked onto Sophia's terrified gaze. "Close your eyes, Sophie," he said calmly. Sophia obeyed, squeezing her eyes shut. The guard hesitated for a fraction of a second, and that was all Ethan needed. His shot was clean and precise, hitting the man squarely between the eyes. Sophia screamed as the man crumpled to the floor, but her cries turned to sobs of relief as Ethan rushed to her side. "Ethan," she cried, throwing her arms around him as soon as her bindings were cut. "I've got you," he said, holding her tightly. "You're safe now." Their reunion was cut short by the sound of shouting and approaching footsteps. Ethan cursed under his breath, quickly scanning the room for an exit. "Stay close to me," he told Sophia, his voice firm but gentle. They moved together through the warehouse, Ethan keeping Sophia shielded as he engaged the remaining guards. Each shot was deliberate, each movement calculated to keep her out of harm's way. When they reached the exit, Ethan spotted Raphael waiting in an unmarked SUV. The vehicle's engine was running, its headlights cutting through the darkness. "Move!" Raphael shouted, opening the passenger door. Ethan and Sophia sprinted toward the SUV as gunfire erupted behind them. Bullets ricocheted off the pavement, but they made it inside unscathed. Raphael slammed on the gas, the tires screeching as they sped away from the warehouse. Once they were a safe distance away, Sophia clung to Ethan, her small hands gripping his shirt. "I was so scared," she whispered. Ethan stroked her hair, his voice steady. "I know, Sophie. But it's over now. You're safe." Raphael glanced at them in the rearview mirror. "Not completely. Ortega's going to know we hit him. He won't take this lightly." Ethan nodded. "Let him come." He took her. He threatened her. "Now it's my turn." Back at the clinic, Sophia was reunited with her parents, though Diego's relief was overshadowed by Ethan's piercing glare. "This isn't over," Ethan said, his voice low and deadly. "You still owe me answers." Diego looked away, his guilt evident. "Tomorrow," he said quietly, "I'll tell you everything." Ethan didn't respond. He simply turned and walked away, his mind already focused on the next step. Ortega had made this personal. And Ethan Cain wasn't done until the man paid for everything he had done. Chapter 7. The Pact for Revenge. The night air was thick with the scent of rain, the sound of distant thunder rolling through the darkened city. Ethan Cain stood on the balcony of the clinic's upper floor, his eyes fixed on the glittering lights of Rio de Janeiro below. Despite the faint hum of life in the city, a quiet storm brewed within him. Sophia was safe for now, asleep in a nearby room under the watchful eyes of Gabriela Silva. But for Ethan, safety wasn't enough. Ortega's actions had crossed a line Ethan couldn't ignore. The man had to pay, not just for Sophia, but for the countless others who had suffered at his hands. Ethan clenched his fists, his mind racing with possibilities. This wasn't just about revenge. It was about dismantling an empire of greed, violence, and corruption. To do that, he needed allies' resources, and most of all, information. The next morning, Diego Silva arrived at the clinic, his face pale and drawn. He had barely slept, the weight of guilt and fear etched into every line on his face. Ethan waited for him in the small kitchen, his demeanor cold and unrelenting. "You said you'd tell me everything," Ethan said as Diego sat down across from him. "No more lies. No more excuses." Diego hesitated, his hands trembling as he reached for a glass of water. "Ortega's after more than money," he began. "This kidnapping wasn't random. It was a message." "A message to who?" Ethan pressed. "To me. My company," Diego admitted, his voice barely above a whisper. "I've made some deals I'm not proud of. Deals that put my family in danger." Ethan's eyes narrowed. "What kind of deals?" Diego swallowed hard. "I borrowed money from Ortega's network to keep my company afloat during a financial crisis. I thought I could pay it back quickly, but the interest, the demands, they kept growing. When I couldn't keep up, they came for Sophia. She was leverage to make sure I stayed in line." Ethan's anger simmered just beneath the surface. "You gambled your daughter's safety on a deal with a criminal syndicate?" "I didn't think it would come to this," Diego protested, his voice cracking. "I thought I could control it." "Control it?" Ethan's voice was sharp, cutting through Diego's excuses like a knife. "You can't control men like Ortega. They don't make deals, they make victims." Diego's head hung low, shame radiating from him. "I know. And I'll never forgive myself for it." Ethan stood, his presence towering over Diego. "Then you'd better help me fix it." Rafael joined them shortly after, his expression grim. "We've tracked some of Ortega's key players. They're moving money and weapons through a warehouse on the outskirts of the city. It's a major hub for his operations." Ethan nodded. "Good. We hit it." Rafael raised an eyebrow. "It's not that simple. The place is heavily guarded, and Ortega's got local law enforcement on his payroll. A direct assault would be suicide." "Then we don't make it direct," Ethan said. "We use the element of surprise. Hit them where it hurts." Diego looked up, his guilt replaced by determination. "I want to help. Whatever it takes." Ethan's gaze was cold. "You're the reason we're in this mess. You'll do exactly what I tell you." The plan came together quickly. Rafael provided the intelligence, blueprints, patrol schedules, and surveillance footage of the warehouse. Diego used his connections to secure untraceable vehicles and equipment. Ethan took the lead, his tactical expertise guiding every decision. Their objective was twofold: gather incriminating evidence on Ortega's operation and cripple his resources. Ethan knew they couldn't take down the entire syndicate in one strike, but they could send a message that Ortega's reign of terror had consequences. The night of the raid, the team assembled in an abandoned building near the warehouse. Rafael had brought two trusted operatives, men with military training and a grudge against Ortega's syndicate. They worked in silence, each man focused on his role. Ethan addressed the group, his voice steady and commanding. "This isn't just about revenge. It's about making sure no one else goes through what Sophia did. We move fast, we hit hard, and we get out before Ortega's men can regroup. Understood. The team nodded, their resolve evident. The raid began with a carefully timed distraction. Diego, positioned in a decoy vehicle, drove past the warehouse, drawing the attention of the guards. As they moved to investigate, Ethan and the others slipped inside through a side entrance. The warehouse was a labyrinth of crates, machinery, and dimly lit corridors. Ethan led the way, his silenced pistol eliminating guards with surgical precision. Raphael's team followed closely, securing key points and planting explosives on critical infrastructure. In the main office, Ethan found what he was looking for: ledgers, computer files, and encrypted hard drives detailing Ortega's operations. He quickly gathered the evidence, knowing it would be instrumental in exposing the syndicate's corruption. The mission was going smoothly until it wasn't. As the team prepared to exfiltrate, an alarm blared, shattering the silence. Guards poured into the warehouse, their weapons blazing. The air filled with the deafening roar of gunfire as Ethan and his team fought their way out. Ethan moved like a ghost, his every action calculated and deliberate. He took down enemies with ruthless efficiency, covering his team as they retreated. Despite the chaos, his mind remained focused on one goal: get the evidence out.
Go!
Ethan shouted, ushering Raphael and the others toward the exit. I'll cover you. Raphael hesitated. We're not leaving you behind. Don't argue with me. Ethan snapped. Get the evidence to safety. I'll meet you outside. Reluctantly, Raphael obeyed, leading the others out as Ethan held the line. He moved through the warehouse like a storm, his bullets finding their marks with deadly precision. By the time Ethan emerged, his body was battered but unbroken. The team was waiting in the escape vehicle, the engine running. Raphael reached out, pulling Ethan into the back seat as the car sped away. You're insane, Raphael said, his voice tinged with both frustration and admiration. Ethan smirked, wiping blood from his brow. Maybe, but it worked. Diego, seated in the front, looked back at Ethan. What now? Ethan's expression hardened. Now we make Ortega pay. Chapter 8. Breaking the Chain. The stolen evidence from Ortega's warehouse lay spread across the table in Raphael's secure hideout, a dimly lit room buried deep within Rio's labyrinthine underworld. Ethan Kane stood over the papers and hard drives, his sharp eyes scanning the contents with the precision of a predator. This wasn't just a list of Ortega's crimes. It was a map of his empire. The documents detailed bribes to police officials, shipments of weapons and drugs, and accounts of countless high-profile kidnappings. Raphael leaned against the wall, his arms crossed. This is enough to implicate half the city, he said grimly. It's also enough to burn Ortega's operation to the ground, Ethan replied. His voice was calm, but the edge of fury was unmistakable. Diego Silva stood nearby, shifting uncomfortably. Will it be enough to stop him? Ethan turned to him, his expression cold. No. Ortega doesn't care about evidence. He cares about power. And as long as he has men willing to die for him, he'll keep coming. Raphael nodded in agreement. We need to dismantle his network, take out the key players one by one. Ethan's lips curled into a grim smile. Then we cut off the head. The first target on their list was Victor Montero, the high-ranking police officer who acted as Ortega's inside man. Montero's betrayal was the keystone of Ortega's operation, allowing him to evade law enforcement and maintain control over the city. Diego provided the location of Montero's safe house, an opulent villa tucked away in the hills outside Rio. The plan was simple: infiltrate, extract information, and eliminate him. Montero knew too much to be left alive, and Ethan wasn't taking chances. The villa was a fortress, surrounded by tall walls and guarded by heavily armed men. Ethan, Raphael, and two of Raphael's operatives approached under cover of darkness, their movements silent and deliberate. Ethan's heart pounded steadily as they scaled the outer wall, the weight of his rifle familiar and reassuring in his hands. From their vantage point on the roof, Ethan spotted Montero through a second-floor window. The man sat at a desk, sipping whiskey and flipping through files, oblivious to the storm closing in on him. Visual on the target, Ethan whispered into his radio. Move on my mark. Rafael's voice crackled in his ear. Roger that. The assault was swift and ruthless. Ethan and his team breached the villa with military precision, silenced weapons dropping guards before they could raise the alarm. The air was heavy with tension as they moved through the lavish halls, their boots muffled on the marble floors. Montero barely had time to react when Ethan kicked open the door to his study. The corrupt officer reached for his pistol, but Ethan's shot was faster, the bullet grazing his hand and sending the weapon clattering to the floor. Don't, Ethan growled, leveling his rifle at Montero's chest. Montero froze, his face pale. Who are you? He stammered. Your worst mistake, Ethan replied. They dragged Montero into the study, tying him to a chair. Rafael stood by the door, his pistol drawn, while Ethan began the interrogation. The cold fury in his eyes made it clear he wasn't interested in pleasantries. You're going to tell me everything, Ethan said, his voice low and menacing. Every shipment, every safe house, every man Ortega has working for him. Montero sneered. You think you're the first to try this? Ortega will kill you just like the others. Ethan's expression didn't waver. He can try, but you won't live to see it. Rafael stepped forward, holding up a USB drive. We already have most of the information we need. You can either fill in the blanks, or we'll make you wish you had. Montero hesitated, his confidence faltering. You don't understand. Ortega's men, they'll kill my family. Ethan's gaze hardened. They'll kill everyone eventually. The only way to stop them is to give us what we need. After a tense silence, Montero broke. He spilled everything, details about Ortega's operations, his lieutenants, and the location of his main headquarters in a luxury high-rise downtown. When the interrogation was over, Ethan handed Montero's pistol to Rafael. We're done here. Rafael hesitated, but the look in Ethan's eyes left no room for argument. A single shot rang out, and Montero slumped forward, his betrayal meeting its final judgment. The information from Montero was invaluable. It revealed the extent of Ortega's reach and provided a blueprint for dismantling his network. But it also painted a grim picture of the challenges ahead. He's more entrenched than we thought, Rafael said, studying the maps and files. Taking him down will take more than just bullets. Ethan nodded. That's why we hit him where it hurts. His money? Diego stepped forward, his guilt giving way to determination. I know where Ortega launders his money. My company has been forced to funnel it through offshore accounts. I can give you the details. Rafael raised an eyebrow. You sure about this? If Ortega finds out. He already knows I betrayed him, Diego said firmly. I have to make it right. The next phase of the plan targeted Ortega's financial operations. Using Diego's information, they hacked into the syndicate's offshore accounts, freezing millions of dollars in assets. The move sent shockwaves through Ortega's network, causing chaos among his lieutenants and cutting off funding for his operations. Ortega responded with violence. Several of Diego's business associates were found dead, their bodies mutilated as a warning. But instead of deterring Ethan and his team, it only strengthened their resolve. He's desperate, Ethan said as they prepared for their next move. Desperate men make mistakes. The final piece of the puzzle was Ortega's headquarters, a sprawling penthouse at the top of a luxury high-rise. It was a fortress, guarded by dozens of men and equipped with state-of-the-art security. But Ethan wasn't deterred. This is it, he told Rafael and the others. We take him down or we don't come back. Rafael nodded. Let's finish this. As they geared up for the assault, Ethan thought of Sophia. Her smile, her laughter, her trust in him. It was all the motivation he needed. Ortega had tried to destroy everything Ethan cared about, but now, The tables were turning. The storm was coming, and Ethan Cain was its fury. Chapter 9. The Weight of Betrayal. The blackened sky above Rio de Janeiro crackled with distant thunder as Ethan Cain prepared for the final assault. The team had everything they needed: maps of Ortega's penthouse, detailed intelligence from Montero, and the resources Diego had pulled together to fund the operation. Every piece was in place, and the storm was about to break. Ethan stood alone in the quiet room, meticulously cleaning his weapons. His hands moved with practiced precision, but his mind churned with thoughts of what lay ahead. This wasn't just another mission. For Ethan, this was personal. Ortega had torn through the lives of innocent people, and Ethan wouldn't rest until the man's empire lay in ruins. Diego entered the room cautiously, his face lined with guilt and determination. "The money transfers went through," he said. "Ortega's accounts are frozen, just like you planned." Ethan didn't look up. "Good. It'll make him desperate." Diego hesitated before speaking again. "There's something else you need to know." Ethan's movement stopped, and he turned to face Diego, his eyes cold. "What is it?" Diego lowered his gaze, unable to meet Ethan's piercing stare. "The kidnapping, it wasn't supposed to go this far." Ethan's jaw tightened. "What are you talking about?" I made a deal," Diego admitted, his voice trembling. "With Ortega. It was supposed to be staged, just enough to satisfy his demands and pay off my debts. Sophia was never supposed to be in real danger." The room fell silent, the weight of Diego's confession suffocating. Ethan's fists clenched, his rage barely contained. "You sold out your own daughter." "It wasn't like that," Diego protested, his voice breaking. "I thought I could control it. I thought I could protect her." "Control it?" Ethan's voice was low, dangerous. "You handed her over to a monster. And you think that makes you different from him?" Diego's knees buckled, and he sank into a chair, his head in his hands. "I know I failed her. I know I failed everyone. But I'll do whatever it takes to make it right." Ethan stared at him, his anger a cold, steady burn. "You don't get to make it right. That's my job now." Raphael found Ethan a few minutes later, standing on the rooftop of the hideout, staring out at the city. The rain had started, a steady drizzle that soaked through his clothes, but Ethan didn't seem to notice. "Diego told you," Raphael said, his voice even. Ethan nodded. "I should have known. The signs were there." "He's not a bad man," Raphael offered. "Just a desperate one." "That doesn't excuse what he did," Ethan replied. "But right now he's useful. After this is over, he'll answer for his choices." Raphael nodded, understanding the unspoken weight behind Ethan's words. "We move tonight. Ortega won't see it coming." Ethan turned to face him, his expression hardened by resolve. "Good. Let's end this." The team assembled in the dead of night, each member focused and ready. The high-rise that housed Ortega's penthouse loomed in the distance, its glass walls gleaming under the city lights. It was a symbol of his wealth and power, and soon, it would be reduced to ashes. The plan was simple but risky. Raphael and his operatives would create a diversion on the lower floors, drawing Ortega's guards away from the penthouse. Ethan and Diego would infiltrate from the roof, using the chaos to their advantage. Ethan checked his gear one last time before addressing the team. "This is it. We've come too far to fail now. Stick to the plan, and we'll all make it out of this." Diego nodded, his resolve clear despite the fear in his eyes. "I'm ready. Let's go," Ethan said, leading the way. The infiltration began smoothly. Raphael's team stormed the lower levels, their explosive charges and gunfire drawing the guards like moths to a flame. Ethan and Diego rappelled down from the roof, entering the penthouse through a shattered skylight. The luxury inside was staggering: polished marble floors, crystal chandeliers, and priceless art adorning the walls. But Ethan's focus was singular. He moved through the space with lethal precision, dispatching the remaining guards with silent efficiency. Ortega was waiting for them in his study, a cigar in one hand and a pistol in the other. The man's calm demeanor betrayed none of the chaos erupting around him. "Ethan Kane," Ortega said, his voice smooth and mocking. "I've heard a lot about you. A soldier turned vigilante. How quaint." Ethan stepped forward, his weapon trained on Ortega. "Your reign ends here." Ortega smirked, taking a drag from his cigar. "Do you really think killing me will change anything? My empire is bigger than one man." Ethan's gaze didn't waver. "Your empire dies with you." Before Ortega could respond, Diego stepped forward, his hands trembling as he raised his own weapon. "This is for Sophia," he said, his voice steady despite the tears streaming down his face. Ortega's smirk faltered, replaced by a flicker of uncertainty. "You don't have the guts." Diego's shot rang out, the sound echoing through the penthouse. Ortega collapsed to the floor, his blood pooling around him. The man who had terrorized the city was dead. The aftermath was a blur. Rafael's team secured the building, gathering what remained of Ortega's records to dismantle his network. The news of Ortega's death spread quickly, sending shockwaves through the criminal underworld. For Ethan, there was no celebration, no sense of triumph. He stood outside the high-rise, the rain washing away the blood and grime from his hands. Sophia was safe, but the scars of the ordeal would linger. For her, for Diego, and for himself. Diego approached him, his expression heavy with remorse. "Thank you," he said quietly. "For everything." Ethan didn't respond. He simply walked away, his silhouette disappearing into the rain. Chapter 10. The Final Descent. The death of Carlos Ortega sent ripples through Rio's criminal underworld. His empire, once a vast and intricate network of corruption, was beginning to collapse. Key operatives fled the city. Money disappeared into the ether, and his lieutenants turned on one another in a desperate scramble for survival. But Ethan Kane wasn't finished. This wasn't just about dismantling Ortega's network. It was about ensuring that no one could ever step into his place. Ethan knew there was still one loose end. The brotherhood of politicians, law enforcement, and business elites who had enabled Ortega's reign. "They're not gone," Rafael said, leaning over the table in their hideout. He tapped a list of names and organizations recovered from Ortega's files. "These are the people who protected Ortega. Without them, he never could have operated at this scale." Ethan's jaw tightened. "Then we take them out?" Rafael hesitated. "You're talking about high-ranking officials, judges, police commanders. They'll see us coming." "Let them," Ethan replied coldly. "I'm not hiding anymore." Targeting the Brotherhood. Over the next week, Ethan and Rafael worked tirelessly, piecing together a plan to expose the Brotherhood. Their primary target was Victor Fuentes, a corrupt businessman who had laundered millions for Ortega's operation. Fuentes was the linchpin, the man who connected the criminal underworld to the city's elite. Diego, desperate to atone for his betrayal, offered his assistance. His knowledge of Fuentes' dealings proved invaluable, providing Ethan with the leverage he needed to strike. "Fuentes will be at his estate tomorrow night," Diego said. "A fundraiser for one of his political allies. Security will be tight." Ethan smirked. "Perfect. Let's give him something to remember." The night of the fundraiser, the estate was a beacon of wealth and power. Luxury cars lined the driveway, and the glittering lights of the mansion spilled onto the manicured lawn. Inside, Rio's elite mingled over champagne and hors d'oeuvres, oblivious to the storm brewing outside. Ethan infiltrated the estate with ease, disguised as one of the catering staff. His eyes scanned the room, locking onto Fuentes, who stood near the grand staircase, laughing with a group of politicians. The man's arrogance was palpable, his confidence bolstered by years of impunity. Ethan approached silently, slipping a small device into Fuentes' jacket pocket. It was a tracking beacon connected to a signal jammer that would disable the estate's security cameras and alarms. The lights flickered, then went out entirely, plunging the mansion into darkness. Panicked murmurs filled the room as guests fumbled for their phones. Ethan used the chaos to slip away, heading for Fuentes' private office on the second floor. The office was lavishly decorated, with shelves of leather-bound books and a massive mahogany desk. Ethan's eyes went straight to the safe behind a painting, its digital lock glowing faintly in the dim light. Using a code provided by Diego, Ethan opened the safe and retrieved a stack of documents. They detailed years of illegal transactions, bribes, and money laundering, enough evidence to implicate Fuentes and his associates in Ortega's crimes. But as Ethan slipped the documents into his bag, the sound of approaching footsteps caught his attention. He turned to see Fuentes standing in the doorway, flanked by two armed guards. "Well, well," Fuentes said, a smug grin spreading across his face. "You must be the thorn in my side everyone's been talking about." Ethan didn't respond. His hand hovered near his pistol, his eyes locked on Fuentes. "You think you won?" Fuentes continued, stepping forward. "Killing Ortega was impressive, but you've only scratched the surface. This city belongs to us, and there's nothing you can do to change that." Ethan's voice was cold and steady. "You're wrong. Your time is up." Fuentes laughed, but the sound was cut short by a sudden explosion outside. The room shook as flames illuminated the night sky. Rafael's team had detonated the decoy charges, drawing security away from the estate. Ethan moved like lightning, drawing his pistol and firing before Fuentes' guards could react. Both men fell, their weapons clattering to the floor. Fuentes stumbled back, his confidence replaced by fear. "Wait," Fuentes pleaded, his hands raised. "We can make a deal." Ethan stepped closer, his pistol trained on Fuentes' chest. "No deals." The shot echoed through the mansion, silencing Fuentes forever. The fallout. By dawn, the news of Fuentes' death had spread across the city. The documents Ethan retrieved were leaked to Mariana Nunez, the investigative journalist who had been following the story from the beginning. Her exposés brought the Brotherhood's corruption into the light, sparking public outrage and a wave of resignations. But for Ethan, the fight wasn't over. As he stood on the rooftop of a crumbling building overlooking Rio, he couldn't shake the feeling that more battles lay ahead. The scars of his journey were deep, but they were a reminder of the lives he had saved and the lives he had taken. A new beginning. Sofia Silva watched the sunrise from the balcony of her family's rebuilt estate, her smile bright despite the hardships she had endured. Her father, Diego, stood beside her, his arm around her shoulders. "Ethan saved us," Sofia said softly. "Do you think he'll ever come back?" Diego sighed, his eyes distant. "I don't know, sweetheart. But wherever he is, I'm sure he's still fighting for people like us." In the shadows of an unfamiliar city, Ethan Kane prepared for his next mission. He carried the weight of his choices, but he also carried the hope that he could make a difference. His war was far from over, but for the first time in years, he felt a glimmer of peace. The storm had passed, but Ethan Kane remained unbroken, unrelenting, and ready for whatever came next. Chapter 11. A City Reclaimed. The revelation of Victor Fuentes' death and the leaked documents sent shockwaves through Rio de Janeiro. News outlets were flooded with Mariana Nunez's reports, each exposing the intricate web of corruption that had poisoned the city. The people, tired of being pawns in the games of powerful criminals and their enablers, took to the streets in protest. Politicians, police commanders, and businessmen connected to the Brotherhood scrambled to protect themselves as investigations were launched and public scrutiny intensified. For Ethan Kane, it was a momentary victory, but not the end of his mission. The city was beginning to turn, but many of Ortega's former lieutenants had gone underground, regrouping and seeking revenge. Ethan knew that as long as they operated in the shadows, Rio would never be free. The chase begins. Ethan sat across from Mariana in a dimly lit cafe, the hum of conversation around them masking their discussion. The journalist's sharp eyes gleamed with determination as she laid out the next phase of their plan. "The leaks worked," Mariana said, sliding a folder across the table. "Public outrage is forcing the authorities to act. But Ortega's lieutenants are already moving to fill the vacuum he left behind. If they consolidate power, we'll be back where we started." Ethan opened the folder, scanning the photos and reports inside. Each one detailed a key figure from Ortega's network, men and women who had built their fortunes through violence and fear. "They'll be harder to track," Mariana continued. "They know we're coming." "Then we hit them faster than they can regroup," Ethan replied, his voice steady. "Where do we start?" Mariana tapped a photo of a wiry man with a scar running down his cheek. "Roberto El Tigre Vasquez. He handled Ortega's weapons shipments. He's still moving arms through the port, likely preparing to arm the remaining factions." Ethan nodded. "I'll need intel on his operations, locations, schedules, and anyone protecting him." Mariana smirked. "Already ahead of you. Rafael's team intercepted one of his couriers last night. He's singing like a bird. A dangerous game." The port was a sprawling maze of shipping containers and heavy machinery, illuminated by the cold glow of floodlights. Ethan crouched behind a stack of crates, his pistol drawn as he scanned the area. El Tigre's men patrolled in pairs, their weapons slung casually over their shoulders. Ethan moved with the precision of a predator, his footsteps silent on the damp concrete. He reached a vantage point overlooking a group of armed guards standing near a container marked with Vasquez's insignia. Inside, he knew, was a cache of weapons bound for the remnants of Ortega's empire. Rafael's voice crackled in his earpiece. "We've got eyes on the container. Are you in position?" "Affirmative," Ethan replied. "Wait for my signal." Ethan's plan was simple. Disable the shipment and take Vasquez alive. The weapons were too dangerous to leave in circulation, and Vasquez's knowledge of Ortega's network was invaluable. Ethan struck like lightning, his silenced shots taking down the guards before they could raise the alarm. He secured the area, planting explosives on the container to destroy the weapons. As he worked, the sound of approaching footsteps made him freeze. El Tigre emerged from the shadows, flanked by two men armed with assault rifles. The scar on his face twisted as he sneered at Ethan. "So, you're the ghost everyone's talking about," Vasquez said, his voice dripping with disdain. "I thought you'd be taller." Ethan didn't respond. Instead, he raised his pistol, aiming it directly at Vasquez. "You're done, Vasquez. Surrender now, and I might let you live." Vasquez laughed a cold, humorless sound. "You think killing Ortega ended this? You're just one man, and we're an army." "An army with no leader," Ethan countered. "No money, no future." Vasquez's smile faltered, but he quickly recovered. "You won't make it out of here alive." Ethan's finger hovered over the detonator in his hand. "Neither will your weapons." The explosion rocked the port, the container erupting into flames and sending Vasquez's men scattering. In the chaos, Ethan closed the distance, taking down the guards and pinning Vasquez to the ground. An interrogation of shadows. Back at the hideout, Vasquez was bound to a chair, his face bloodied from the fight. Ethan paced in front of him, his cold stare making the man squirm. "You're going to tell me everything," Ethan said, his voice low and menacing. "Where are the others hiding? Who's still loyal to Ortega?" Vasquez spat blood onto the floor. "You think I'm afraid of you? I've faced worse." Ethan leaned in close, his eyes burning with intensity. "Not like me." The interrogation was brutal but effective. Vasquez revealed key locations of safe houses and meeting points, along with the names of several lieutenants still operating in the city. Ethan took no pleasure in the man's pain, but he knew it was necessary to break the cycle of violence. As Rafael entered the room, Ethan handed him the intel. "Take this to Mariana. Make sure it gets out." "What about him?" Rafael asked, nodding toward Vasquez. Ethan's gaze hardened. He's seen enough sunsets. A single shot echoed through the room, and Vasquez slumped forward, lifeless. A glimmer of hope. The intel led to a series of coordinated strikes. Rafael's team raided safe houses, dismantling caches of weapons and drugs. Mariana's reports exposed the remaining members of the Brotherhood, forcing them into hiding or surrender. For the first time in years, Rio began to feel the weight of its oppressors lifting. The streets buzzed with cautious optimism as people reclaimed their neighborhoods, no longer living in fear of Ortega's men. But Ethan couldn't rest. He stood on the balcony of the hideout, the city sprawling below him. Sophia's voice echoed in his mind, "You're like a superhero, Ethan." He wasn't a hero. He was a man carrying the weight of his choices, fighting battles most couldn't see. But for Sophia, for Diego, for the countless lives torn apart by greed and corruption, he would keep going. The storm wasn't over, but Rio had begun to heal. And Ethan Kane, relentless and unyielding, would ensure the city never fell into darkness again. Chapter 12. A Warrior's Rest. The morning sun cast its golden glow over Rio de Janeiro, painting the city in a warmth it hadn't felt in years. The aftermath of Ethan Kane's crusade was evident everywhere. Ortega's network was shattered, and the Brotherhood of Corrupt Officials was either imprisoned, exiled, or hiding in fear. But for Ethan, the battle was not about glory or recognition. It was about redemption. Standing on the balcony of Rafael's hideout, Ethan took a rare moment to reflect. The scars on his body ached, but they were nothing compared to the wounds within. Every victory had come at a cost, every life taken weighing on his conscience. Yet, in the chaos, he had found purpose again. A new beginning for Sophia. Sophia Silva stood at the edge of her family's estate, her sketchpad in hand. Her drawings had changed since her ordeal. Once filled with whimsical scenes and bright colors, they now showed a maturity far beyond her years, images of strength, survival, and hope. Her father, Diego, approached her cautiously. He had spent the weeks since Ortega's downfall trying to rebuild his relationship with her. The guilt of his actions lingered, but Sophia had begun to forgive him. She understood, even at her young age, that people made mistakes, even terrible ones, and that they could change. "Do you miss him?" Sophia asked, not looking up from her sketchpad. Diego didn't need to ask who she meant. "Every day," he admitted. Sophia finally looked at him, her wide eyes filled with a wisdom he hadn't seen before. "Do you think he'll ever come back?" Diego knelt beside her. "Ethan's not the kind of man who stays in one place. But I know wherever he is, he's still protecting people." Sophia smiled faintly and returned to her drawing. She sketched a figure standing in the shadows, a protector watching over the city. She titled it The Guardian. The final mission. Ethan's last target was a man named Santiago Barreto, Ortega's most loyal lieutenant. Barreto had gone into hiding after Ortega's death, but Mariana's reports and Rafael's intelligence revealed his location, a remote compound deep in the Amazon rainforest. Barreto wasn't just hiding, he was rebuilding. Reports indicated he was consolidating the remnants of Ortega's forces and planning a resurgence. Ethan couldn't let that happen. The journey to the compound was grueling. Ethan traveled alone, trekking through dense jungle and enduring the unforgiving heat. The compound was heavily fortified, surrounded by a natural moat of jagged cliffs and dense foliage. But Ethan wasn't deterred. He had faced worse odds before. Using the cover of darkness, Ethan infiltrated the compound. His movements were silent, his every step calculated. Guards patrolled the perimeter, their weapons gleaming under the faint moonlight. Ethan took them down one by one, his silenced pistol ensuring no alarm was raised. He reached the heart of the compound, a large, open-air pavilion where Barreto held court. The man was flanked by a dozen armed mercenaries, his voice booming as he barked orders. Ethan watched from the shadows, his cold eyes fixed on the man who had caused so much suffering. "You've built a kingdom on the backs of the innocent," Ethan whispered to himself. It ends tonight. The assault was swift and brutal. Ethan struck with the precision of a predator, his every move dismantling Barado's forces. Explosions rocked the compound as Ethan used improvised charges to disable the mercenaries' vehicles and weapon caches. In the chaos, Barado tried to flee, but Ethan cornered him at the edge of the cliffs. The two men faced each other, the jungle echoing with the distant cries of wildlife and the faint crackle of flames. "You don't have to do this," Barado pleaded, his hands raised. "You've won. Let me go, and you'll never see me again." Ethan's gaze was icy. "You don't deserve to walk away." Barado lunged for a weapon, but Ethan was faster. A single shot rang out, and Barado's lifeless body fell into the abyss below. Ethan stood at the edge, his breathing heavy, his heart pounding. The last remnant of Ortega's empire was gone. For the first time in years, he felt the faint stirrings of peace. A quiet departure. Ethan returned to Rio briefly, but he didn't stay. He visited Sophia one last time, watching from a distance as she played in the garden of her estate. She seemed happy, her laughter echoing through the air like music. Ethan allowed himself a rare smile. She was safe. That was all that mattered. Before leaving, he met with Rafael and Mariana. The three of them shared a quiet moment of reflection, their bond forged through shared struggle and sacrifice. "What will you do now?" Rafael asked. Ethan shrugged, a faint smirk on his lips. "Same thing I've always done. Go where I'm needed." Mariana placed a hand on his arm. "You've done more than enough, Ethan. Maybe it's time to rest." Ethan shook his head. "Not yet. A legacy of hope." Months later, Rio was a city transformed. The people had reclaimed their streets, their neighborhoods, and their lives. Mariana's relentless reporting continued to expose corruption, ensuring the city's wounds didn't reopen. Rafael worked tirelessly to rebuild trust in law enforcement, using the resources Ethan had left behind to create a force that truly served the people. And Sophia, now free to live without fear, carried Ethan's legacy in her heart. She often sketched him as she remembered him, strong, silent, and unyielding. To her, he was more than a protector. He was a symbol of hope. Epilogue. Ethan Kane walked along a dusty road in an unfamiliar town, the setting sun casting long shadows behind him. He carried little more than the clothes on his back and the tools of his trade. His war in Rio was over, but the world was still full of battles to fight, people to protect, and wrongs to right. As he disappeared into the horizon, Ethan Kane remained a ghost, a relentless force in the shadows, ensuring that justice, no matter how fleeting, would find its way to the forgotten corners of the world. And somewhere, in the quiet corners of his mind, he carried the memory of a little girl who had reminded him that even in the darkest times, there was still light. The end.